B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, a soft call. But that, again, it's putting yourself in position where soft calls can be made, Joe. And it's been a problem for the Blues. I don't like that call at all. I think Carlo dove, but again, you engage yourself on that guy, you put yourself in position for that.
You see Carlo's head snap back, and listen, he sold it. He sold it like they're doing professional soccer in Europe, and yeah. The ref bid on it right there, and now it's really about a big test right here for the Blues.
So the Bruins on the power play, and they win the draw in the blue zone. Krug with a shot, and he scored, and Boston takes a 1-0 lead. The dive by Carlo, the bite by the official, the penalty by Perron, and the Bruins have a 1-0 lead.
I got your two states.
You got them?
Yeah, I was searching for a third.
You got one? What do you got?
I thought there were three.
Louisiana.
That's one.
That's the toughest one to get.
That's the first one I got.
Louis.
The second
one, Louis.
I think the second one's harder to remember because it's not continental.
I can't come up.
Yeah.
Hawaii. Oh.
Hawaii. A-I-I at the end.
That's the harder one to get, I think.
Got the two eyes.
Louisiana's the easy one, I think.
I was sitting there and I saw St. Louis and I'm like, wait a minute, Louis.
Here I am like an idiot looking for the third. There's only two.
A bunch of people on Twitter got it too. Trevor, Chris, Lauren, Mark. BS3.
Aren't they smart?
Good one.
Yeah.
So they thought there was a dive after this one? Craig Berube thought there was a dive there, huh?
Yeah, just like the people up in, playing soccer over in Europe.
Berube not happy with the refs to this point in this series. Craig Berube.
Coach, been talking about, your players talked about too, taking fewer penalties. When you analyze the penalties that they've taken, are you seeing something? I mean, they were saying there's emotions involved. Is it emotions? Is it decisions? What are you seeing?
There's a few things. First of all, we're the least penalized team in the league in the first three rounds, and now all of a sudden we've taken 14 penalties in one series. So I don't know. I don't buy into all that, to be honest with you. I think that we can definitely be more composed after the whistle. I think we've let, some frustration get in there where we're maybe do too much after the whistle. So we'll clean that up for sure. But like I said, we're the least penalized team in the league coming into this series. So, I don't agree with all the calls.
Maybe if your guys want to skate around and act like a bunch of a-holes, they wouldn't
get on radar. Is this guy watching the same game we are? I mean, that was a goon squad he put out on the ice the other night.
Hit squad. Yeah, just go out, forget your game, go out, and let's skate around, try to take heads off.
That's all they had.
Yep.
That's all they had us the other night.
After we put Boston on the first power play and they scored, let's put them on some more since they're hitting on about 50% of their power play chances here in the playoffs, which is pretty damn good.
In the first, what felt
Bruins
like,
are phenomenal
I don't know the exact
play,
times, but it felt like in the first 5 minutes of the game the other night, they went for headshots on Backes, face to face, and then they went after Braden Schenn, went after David Pastrnak. I had misspoken earlier. I said it was, what's his name? Who did I say earlier?
You said DeBrusque.
It wasn't DeBrusque. It was Pastrnak. And he missed. He whiffed. That's where you saw him go ass over t-shirt. Spinning around. Did a somersault out there on the ice. I mean, it was obvious what they were trying to do. Their whole game plan was like, let's just go out there and try and hit everybody again. Which worked for a game. And, I mean, I guess to their credit, worked in the last series. They took three players out in the last series. They're trying to close the talent gap by getting guys hurt. That was what they did. And now they're mad about it? They had one of their top six forwards try and pick a fight with a goalie, down 5-1. What are you watching out there?
The least penalized team to three series, and all of a sudden we're the most 14 penalties in this one. So you tell me. I'm not going to get into it.
Well, you just did.
You lost 7-2. It's the... Now, what? Now it's the penalties? Now it's the refs? You got blown out.
Well, they're going to clean it up. They can clean it up.
You got blown out, and the Bruins were 4-for-4, as in 4 shots taken on the power play and 4 goals scored. Oh, that was too easy. Stop the damn puck. Your goalie sucked, too. You had to pull him out of the game. Remember when that happened? That's not the ref's fault. That's not the ref. Jim, read us the quote that just came down as Bruce Cassidy just spoke minutes ago.
I'm not going to complain about the officials until they stink.
Now we've got a good old-fashioned back and forth. Bruce Cassidy asked just minutes ago in St. Louis about the officials. I'm not going to complain about the officials until they stink. which is his way of saying they've been fine. There's nothing wrong with the officials in this series. Did you have an issue with the officials? Jar went to the box a couple of times the other night, and he looked like he wanted to murder somebody. I'm not sure if you caught any of that. But Char looked like he may have wanted to murder someone with his bare hands right there on the ice because he had a hard time containing himself dealing with all the morons wearing Blues jerseys out there on the ice the other night.
That's funny because after
you can tell that guy's got a low tolerance for the kind of crap that was going on Saturday night.
He's like, we just got to maintain our even keel and keep our composure, and we know what we're doing in those situations. He was so reserved after the game, you know, when he spoke about it. But, probably pissed off. And he comes to the defense of your guys, too. You know, you start going after the goalie, and the way they went after the damn goalie, you know, that's the ones you should have problems with. Those hits, and hey, it's been like that with Backus all series. They should expect those. Obviously, they've teed that guy up. Former player, former captain, we're going to go after him. That's been their mantra since game one. Expect more of that tonight. This moron going after the goalie, though. That was bad.
Oh, worst look of the series.
Yeah. Top six forward, going after a guy.
Yeah, that was great.
Let's go after the goalie.
A goon.
It's going to get in his head.
Phones are locked up here, so.
Oh, sorry. We got some phones locked up.
Can you help us out there?
Nice. Hold on. Let me put my phone's grip. Who do you want to go to?
We can't get the people.
We're locked again. This happened Friday.
Yeah.
There we go.
The intern's phone.
Oh, you again.
He mentioned, he's like, Beetle keeps locking the phones up because people are calling. He said,
not me.
He said, kind of like that. I said, why? Because I don't answer the phones.
Oh, really?
UMass. Oh, so.
Typical UMass.
There he is again. Now he's a liar. We've caught him in multiple lies in the last week. I wasn't locking anything. Oh, I kind of like that. So now he
thought you locked him because we were getting too many of the jersey calls.
I haven't touched them. I'm wondering why we're not taking calls. I'm like, why are we not taking calls? Why are we locking up the lines? Andrew is in Florida. Now we can get to Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, guys. How are you doing? I love the show. Hey. Listen every day on the app.
Thank you. Tap that app.
I want to talk about how the Blues are a bunch of goons. You know, but the good thing the Bruins are doing, they're not getting frustrated. They're not getting tied into, the retaliation penalties or anything like that. So the Blues can't play their game. They can't be the goons. They can't get the Bruins involved with the petty little stuff. And then our power play is such a weapon right now that the Blues, you know, they want to get into this dirty game, but every time they go to the box, we score a goal. So I think that's just a huge part of the series. They can't dirty the game up with us scoring every time on the power play. I want to hang up quickly. A little shout out to my boys at Turner Motorsports.
Yeah.
And, thank you guys.
All right. Shout outs. That's a question for tonight. Like, they don't have another game to go to, do they? They're not a finesse team.
Their top line can score. Their top line has ability.
That's it. It's like, what do they change from the other night?
Which is why that's so disappointing when you see a guy like Braden Schenn looking to take a headshot the other night. Like, wait a minute. Even that line?
That sounds like it's
even code. Even those guys are out there
for
blood?
It's almost like the Code Red's been an issue.
Oh, you guys totally suck. You're even using those guys for that?
Maybe Berube when he went to the Cardinals game.
Exactly. Talk about the fish just rotting from the head down with this guy as the head coach.
I'll clean some things up. Really, it seems like you ordered
so
a Code
Berube
Red.
There went to that baseball game yesterday.
Yeah. Belichick went in Minnesota to a basketball game.
Adam Jones knows all about that.
Yeah. I had some friends in town, and I thought it'd be a good idea just to come down. And you know, they don't get to do this every day. They're from Canada and stuff out west, so I thought it'd be nice to come down, can hang out a little bit, watch a Cards game. You know, we went to the rink all morning, got our work done, and sometimes it's good to leave it there till tomorrow. We'll get after it again and come here and support the Cards. They support us, and we love baseball and love the Cardinals.
Yeah, Blues are here at Cardinal games. Cardinals are there at Blues games. What does that mean to the team to have the Cardinals there rooting on?
Well, it's awesome.
When have the Cardinals been at the Blues
game? You see a guy like Molina there, and, you know, Hall of Fame catcher he's going to be and stuff. It's great, and real supportive of them. We're very happy that they're there.
See, it's funny
because playing the other night?
Well, Bob Beers was on with the morning
show. Maybe they've been in a previous playoff game, but they weren't at the Stanley Cup game.
So Beersy was on with our morning show, Toucher and Rich. And I heard the whole interview this morning, and he's talking about they're breaking his balls about golf because Beersy loves to golf, like Mass.
Huge golf.
You're out on the road, hey, Bob, how many how many rounds you get in? Yes, how many holes you play yesterday? And he laughed at him. He goes, that was at the rink all day. It's a Stanley Cup final, guys. I'll have time to golf after it. I had to do a ton of interviews. We had to watch the skates. And, you know, you're sitting there and you're talking hockey with a bunch of people. And it was a busy day. The color guy for the visiting team in was too busy at the rink. And yet the home head coach had time to take some friends and rounds.
Friends from Canada, eh?
Hey, because they support us. We support them. You know, it's good to leave it
They don't get
rink.
To do stuff like this often. They're from Canada.
Canada. Yeah, they don't have baseball teams there.
They're Canadian. You know, they don't have this up in Canada. They don't have baseball.
Oh, look at that. They hit a ball with a stick.
You know, they don't get to do this every day. They're from Canada.
Canadians. You're so funny.
Different world up there. From Canada.
See, I heard that. I hear
we
Beers
only
talk,
have one like, team up in Canada. It's all the way in Toronto.
Beers like, no time for fun. No time for relaxation. You know, Stanley Cup final. Grindstone.
They never even been to Toronto.
Oh. Had some Tim Hortons coffee they brought me.
Real question. What percentage of Canadians have never been to Toronto? Good chunk of them, I'd wager.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So you stay in your house.
Most of them never seen it. Never will.
Most.
You kill one moose up there, you're good for a year, for the winter. Have to go nowhere.
Most. We've all been to a Tim Hortons, but most of us never been to Toronto.
I hear the Tim's bits are juicier there. What are they really called? Are they Tim's bits?
Timbits.
Yeah, Timbits.
Timbits. What do you think? We made that up? That's what they're called.
I thought that was the name we came to goof out of.
No. Timbits.
There are Timbits?
Well, Timbit donut holes.
Timbit two and a Timbit two.
Be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Nolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Torey Krug certainly had an impact on the game the other night. Where's he been? He's been on the show in quite some time.
He's a big hit. He's famous now. Hit the chain series.
Well, game one, he had quite an impact with his big, big open ice hit. Game three, he had some impact that was, you know, more substantial in terms of offensive output. Had a goal and three assists in the game on Saturday night.
He's always been good with us.
First Bruins player ever to have 4 points in a single game in a Stanley Cup final game. It's pretty good. Consider the number of games that have been played in Stanley Cup final history involving the Bruins. Right? Team's been in the Stanley Cup final 20 times. Think of all the great names that have been on the back of a Bruins jersey playing in a Stanley Cup final game. The only one to ever have 4 points in a game, the only jersey, Krug. Pretty good. Right?
Pretty impressive.
Think Bobby Orr never did that. Bobby Orr never did that. Ray Bourque didn't do that. Cam Neely didn't do that. I mean, these are all guys that have played in the Cup Final and never did that. Yeah, Torey Krug did.
Bergeron. Yeah.
So, Torey Krug had himself a huge night on Saturday night and has obviously proven to be a factor in the series, not only for that hit, but what he did on Saturday in the game. Luke Fox, who's covering the series for Sportsnet in Canada, he was in the locker room today. He asked David Pastrnak about Torey Krug's impact on the Cup Final. Pastrnak looks over at Haggerty, that'd be Joe Haggerty, NBC Sports Boston, smiles and says,
"Yo, what's up, guys?"
He didn't say, "What's up, guys?" He said, do you still think we're better without him? Taking a dig at Hags for a story he wrote saying that the Bruins may be better off without Torey Krug in their lineup.
They don't forget, huh?
How about that? That is paying attention to everything. Now, granted, that sort of blew up because Brad Marchand went at Haggerty on Twitter when that was written, right?
Yeah.
That was back in March. End of March. March 21st is when that all happened. But that goes, what's that? Like a little over 2 months ago now.
Yeah.
But how about that? Pastrnak. He doesn't forget.
Head coach on down. You've heard it from Marchand.
He don't forget.
You've heard it from everybody. They know what's written and said about
them. Yeah, and Cassidy talked about it before the series, said that Krug is underappreciated, said he's now, you know, undervalued, people don't realize what he means to the team and all that stuff.
If you're able to take that, not let it fester, but somehow channel it and help motivate your team or yourself, then it does things for you. Brady's done it, right? We have no weapons, our defense sucks, you know, all this. And
here's what Haggerty wrote, by the way, if you want me to read it to you. March 20th, he wrote it.
2.5 months ago.
Are the Bruins a more difficult team to play against with Torey Krug out of their lineup? Certainly, the argument can be made that the Bruins are better defensively with number 47 off the ice, and that's an easy case to make after a Tuesday night shutout in which the Bruins limited the Islanders to just 2 shots in the first period and only 13 shots total. With undersized defenseman Krug and Matt Grizzlick out of the lineup, the Bruins don't have any D-men that opposing forwards can really pick on. Though it should be noted, Grizzlick is actually pretty strong defensively, despite the size and strength disadvantage. But the installation of Connor Clifton, along with John Moore back into the Bruins lineup, makes them a more rugged defensive unit and certainly gives them a tougher look in the defensive zone. Does it mean they should go with that when Krug and Grizzlick are healthy and ready to return? Absolutely not, given that the Bees also need to score goals and they rely on Krug running things on their top power play unit. That's going to be a massive key to the postseason. But it's interesting to note how the Bees play differently based on the personnel. So if you actually read what Hags wrote back on March 20th, what does he say? No, I'm not actually suggesting they're better off without Krug. In fact, Krug, once he's healthy, needs to be right back in the lineup and is going to be a key element of the Bruins in the playoffs. And here's Pastrnak giving him crap in the locker room today, saying, oh, you still think we're better off without him? Hags?
Tell him to stay in his lane.
Nature of the beast. I hope he told him to stay in his lane.
Yeah.
Hey, Hags, why don't you stay in your lane?
It's I've never seen a team like this that hears it and gives it back to you the way they do.
Like they don't ignore the noise. They embrace the noise.
They do.
How about that?
That's good.
How about that? Hags is actually like dead on there. Like, no, Krug, hugely important on the power play once the playoffs start. look at the game. Look at how it played out on Saturday night.
Stayed in his lane.
Oh, my God. Like, it's like he predicted it, and he's getting trolled for it.
It was more the tweet. The tweet is what Marchand stuck to. They probably don't read the article. They probably just looked at the tweet.
Of course. Of course. Why take the time to actually read it? Marchand tweeting Hags back in March.
What were they going back and forth on Twitter too?
And they're still pissed about it. Marchand wrote, what kind of garbage is this, Hags? You don't even watch the games. You just stand at the snack bar the whole time.
Oh, God.
That's what he wrote on March 21st. That's what Marchand wrote.
So descriptive too. That one cuts. That cuts.
That's what he said to him. 617-779-0985. Let's go to Jeff, who's in Merrimack. Hey, Jeff.
What's happening, boys?
What's up?
So I got a few little timbits for you.
Timbits, yes.
Yeah, first on the Blues goalie, Jordan Badminton. The Bees are going to continue beating him. They're going to continue beating him and Maroon 7 like the shuttlecocks that they are.
Shuttlecock.
And as far as the NBA finals, you know, if it weren't for the Cavaliers MVP, Adam Silver, the Warriors would be going for 5 straight titles. And hard to believe that Jonas Jerebko is going to get a ring. And then lastly, a jersey for you, Kung Pao Panda.
Kung Pao Panda?
Kung Fu Panda.
Are we talking about
the third baseman?
Sandoval?
Yeah.
But he sucks.
Right.
He's not any good. We need someone who's good.
People forget that. that's like Hall of Fame type.
Yeah, the whole point is Hall of Famers or slightly below Hall of Fame caliber.
I think people that picked this up midstream kind of confused it because we're getting a lot of confusing tweets
too. So the reason why it came up was because Travis Kelce was wearing a Wayne Gretzky Blues jersey, which seems just absurd. And we started talking about jerseys of really great players with teams they were not really great on or teams that they only played a short time for, which led to the conversation about Shaq Celtics jerseys or a Ricky Henderson Red Sox jersey or things of that nature. Guys who are Hall of Fame level players that ended up playing for other teams before they were done. Zach in the car. Hey, Zach.
Hey, I got 2 points quickly on the jerseys. Greatest NFL quarterback of all time and a Pennsylvania boy, Johnny Unitas in a San Diego Chargers jersey. And the second point on the Bruins, I think somebody might have said this on a call I missed about a few minutes ago, but that second line for the Bruins has to get going. We definitely need more from Krejci and DeBrusk, and if that line gets going, this is definitely a five-game series.
Okay, Zach.
I mean, we were looking for local jerseys, right?
Yeah, we were looking for local Boston.
If we're going to do that, then we do the Namath Rams one, right? Now we're really getting outside the box here.
Yeah. Dave in Virginia on the Stanley Cup. Hey, Dave.
Hey, I got a question about the Blues coach. What the hell is he talking about with the refs and officiating? Because if you get rid of the empty net slasher there and the delay of game, they went on penalty kill, what, twice? So, you know, yeah, the refs are really after them, you know, for game three specifically. I think it's BS there.
Yeah, I think he's out of his mind.
He's trying to play something else up to distract.
I think he's trying to do. He's lobbying to the refs now. Yeah,
he's trying to even it up at home.
I don't think it's going to work. Do you think it works?
I don't think so.
Who are you going to see right through that? Yeah. There's no way the refs are going to succumb to that crap. What are you, out of your mind? No way.
No.
No way that's going to work. Good luck. Anthony in Medford. Anthony.
Hey, what's up, guys?
No.
The Bruins, that last game, Game 3, was the pivotal game because I felt they had way more talent. Maybe they had a little edge, St. Louis, on defense. And the goalie, they got to Bennington. He was going to have to steal a game. I mean, you know, Felger said that it's hard to win that, you know, playing the heavy hockey the way St. Louis is playing. I mean, it's not that. Like the Flyers of the 70s, you can win that way, you got to have the talent, too. Like they had Clark, they had Barber, they had the Rifleman, Reggie Leach. They don't have anybody. The Tarasenko and Schwartz, they ain't producing their first line. They ain't got a second, third, and fourth line like us.
Nope.
I mean, Maroon and Perron. Maroon had 25 goals or 27 goals with Edmonton a few years, 3 or 4 years ago, but he hasn't done nothing. They just don't have the talent the Bruins have.
They don't, and it's becoming more and more obvious the more games they play. It is. The more they play, the more obvious it becomes. There's a huge talent gap between the two teams. They're trying to make it up by going out for blood. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
So they tried to do Saturday night.
As long as you don't take
the
bait.
You got to be aware of it now. You got to worry about that.
Three games in, you should know the way this team plays. You should feel it and resist it. Do what Rass did. You know, do what Char did. Char wanted to kill somebody, like you said.
Yeah.
You know, when he went to the box. But he talked about it after. Like, we've got too many guys who have been in the spot. We got to understand it. We got to play controlled.
We've got today's takeaways coming up at 150. We got time for one more segment of your calls.
Oh.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap and the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Great nugget of info on the jersey thing, by the way. Frank the Tank tells me that St. Louis actually retired the number 99. For Gretzky and had the full retirement ceremony and everything for him.
That's sad.
For 18 lousy games there. Can you imagine that? Oh, my God. How sad is that? Oh, my God. Oh, your franchise is pathetic. 18 games he played there. Let's make sure we retire his number. What a joke. What an absolute joke. It has since been retired league-wide in the NHL. But before that happened, the Blues were like, let's get him in here. Let's make sure we raise that number to the rafters because he spent a couple weeks here. Please. Oh, my God. Oh, that's so bad. No wonder why they were able to get that jersey for Kelsey the other night. 617-779-0985. Brandon's in the car. Brandon.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Brandon.
So, yeah, I think my comment line, the guy I spoke to when I called in, he kind of hit the nail on the head. I was just looking to see, I was looking to get your opinion on what, you know, if you guys would attribute any of these, you know, success just across the board for Boston sports to, you know, possibly the environment.
We should probably let him talk about it.
What?
Huh? What happened?
What's the question?
What nailed you hit?
So this town, I mean, there's tons of talent throughout the league, you know, all the leagues, but, you know, basketball, NBA, NFL, yeah, all over the place. But why is Boston, you know, why have we been spoiled and had so much success? You know, granted, if it was just the Patriots, that's a team. You can, you know, attribute the success to the players, coaches.
Oh. The intern told you all this? Like, this was his take?
I mean, he kind of took my words and said, I mean, he
said, okay. All right. Here's a question. Why has Boston won so much?
Okay.
Is really the question.
It starts with the Patriots, and you happen to get the greatest coach quarterback combo of all time that started the whole run. Mm-hmm. Couple that with a baseball team with an owner that's willing to spend money.
Yep.
Okay. So there's two. Factor in now, also a little bit of luck in having a great core with the Bruins between Bergeron, Chara, Thomas, and then Rask. You've got that core there. Boom, now you got three. You got another storied franchise in the Celtics with a team that also has made a couple of good hires, chiefly in Danny Ainge, in running things there, and that gave you the championship.
Can I tell you more than anything? More than anything, it's ownership.
It's yes.
All four teams have good ownership.
Ownership, yeah. But deep pockets that have deep hands pockets, off that said, you know what? You figure it out. You
deep pocketed ownership that is spent for the last two decades.
But you can only spend so much in three of the four sports. So that the ownership and what they're willing to spend only really answers the question for baseball. And that always doesn't get it done. See teams with big payrolls not succeed.
No, but there's other ways to spend and invest too.
Yeah, you don't have to. Yeah, I agree. There are ways of spending money and being willing to take some chances on expiring contracts or stuff like that. There's ways
of
doing it.
I'm talking about your facilities. I'm talking about your front office guys. Yeah. I'm talking about your scouting, things like that. Right?
What did the interns say?
Your buildings.
What did the interns
owners
say?
That invest and are engaged and actually have a clue?
Intern hit the nail on the head. He said, what are the interns?
I'm pins and needles.
And what sort of keeps them going now that they're up and running, now that they're all going and they're all going well for the last couple decades?
The success breeds success.
The fear of then it not going as well as it was going.
Right. Once you're
successful, you fear not being successful.
And it's competition among the teams.
Yeah.
If you want to have the stands full at Fenway, then you have to try and be as good as the Patriots have been. If the Celtics are playing well, the Bruins don't want to have, you know, two-thirds attendance when the Celtics are. It one breeds, or I guess promotes and probably instills some sense of obligation in the others to have the same level of success and put bodies in the seats.
Who do you feel is the most bulletproof in all this?
What do you mean?
What happens on the field is not going to necessarily impact what they're doing the most. Like, business-wise, they're going to be fine no matter what.
I mean, just because of the NFL, I would say the Patriots, but...
To a degree.
How do you know?
You don't know. You don't know. You'll find out. But you know what? The Red Sox have a good thing going.
Henry with his hands and everything.
They sell out every single game no matter what. The team has been absolutely brutal, and they'll sell all their tickets every summer because people come to town and show up and go to the games.
Those
tickets are sold. Even when there's nobody there, they sell all their tickets. Even these games,
like it, but that only
10,000. You know, you look at some of these games, and the weather's been bad, and there's like it looks like there's 15,000 people there. All the tickets are sold.
Yep. But
They collected all the money. It's unbelievable.
Right. But it's they've only had to
do that. At exorbitant prices.
They've only had to do that for like one season at a time. And then they make a change and then they end up winning. You know, what was the year when they finally stopped with the sellout streak? When they stopped announcing it? And they
I was Cody Ross here.
What year, Jim?
I was going to say the Bobby Valentine year.
It's a tourist attraction.
Okay. So they've
once you hit May 1st, it's like, yeah, we sell it out no matter what's going on here.
So they finally stopped with that. But what happened after? They turn around and start winning again. After the Bobby
Mountain. Can go long stretches without winning and be just fine.
Well,
they
the Patriots can too, though. They get a nice fat check that covers the entire salary cap for the from the NFL sharing.
They still make crazy money on their TV.
What's a long stretch?
5 years.
I don't think that's all that long.
That's a long period of time where you don't have to do anything.
I don't know. I don't know if it's long enough to really say that they're bulletproof.
Well, closest to it. I mean, nobody is truly bulletproof, but you know what I'm talking about.
Also helps that Fenway doesn't have as many seats to sell as some other parks now in the United States.
No, that's why a lot of parks are going to smaller parks when they build them now.
Should.
They realize
supply
that building,
and demand.
They realize that building 55,000 or 60,000 seat stadiums is not the smartest idea. Not really all that great of an idea.
Speaking of... what's that?
But what's the diff when you can charge $120 to sit in some of those seats 81 times a year?
Speaking of long enough, we got takeaways coming up next, and John Hamm is one of them.
John Hamm's one of them, and I assume Shaq's Celtics jersey is one of them, too.
So proud of that, aren't you?
That's
you formulated that joke in your head. You wanted the wording just right.
He screwed up the catcher thing.
Thought he
had something else up his sleeve. Yep, that's next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes for the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub. That's
All right, Monday, and today's takeaways are brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. They've heard your requests, and again, as Hardy said, they're opening a brand new location downtown Boston next month. Actually, this month, which is June 17th. Find a new location nearest you. I use the one in Quincy because it's convenient on the way home. Had a nice call today from a lady that said, hey, so I'm heading into Awaken 180 because of you. Awaken180weightloss.com. Check it out.
I want to add a late addition to today's takeaways, if you don't mind. I think you guys saw this yesterday.
About the hammer?
No, not about the hammer. Not about John Hamm. We will get to John Hamm. I was doing a Twitter search yesterday morning.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Did you see it? Did you see it? You saw it.
I can't.
I know, so sorry.
It is so freaky.
So I was doing a Twitter search.
It's a puppet. It's almost
I did a Twitter search for Marshan to see if I could see Marshan's post game from the night before. And I came across this video.
This creepy, freaky.
Under an account that says Le Marchand de Sable. And it's some sort of parody.
And I couldn't
of
get
some
the...
sort of way, some sort of strange, like, kids cartoon that this account parodies. And it's in French.
Do you know the Swedish chef? When you see the puppet, the Swedish chef, they actually has real man hands that he uses. And there's this freakish, like, Holland, whatever, French puppet. That has a plastic face, but he's got real hands, and he's playing the flute.
Do you want to, we can't. I don't know. I don't know if we can do it with the.
I don't know if we can do it.
You can see it on my Twitter page at @mark_Bertrand.
We can play it,
but we can play the sound. I'll tell you what the translation is. You want to play it?
Yeah, play.
Quand nous nous traînons trop chez les enfants, je le rappelle comme ça.
What? Yeah. And it's a teddy bear and like this little redheaded figurine guy.
Look at it on his Twitter. It is a
quand nous nous traînons trop chez les enfants.
So it's when the
moment. Je le rappelle comme ça.
When when Nono is late, too late with the children, I call him back this way.
Oh, it's like the Pied Piper flute.
Is also the word for teddy bear. The original video is part of an old kids show that was on TV. That's what it is. Maybe that's my Marchand sound effect now.
He likes to play the magic flute.
So, Marchand,
yep.
That's his sound
he
effect.
He scores a goal tonight?
Yes.
That thing's
I think Tom's working on the video right now.
Thank you. So, Marchand scores a goal. It's
magic
like,
flute.
It's like a Pied Piper type of sound
it
effect.
It sure is.
Nous traînons trop chez les enfants. Je le rappelle comme ça.
I mean, boom. Like, good production right there.
Oh, nice, my God. The best.
Nice, rigid mixing.
All right. John Hamm from earlier today. We talked out with him. He's a big blues fan.
Sure is. I thought he was going to end up saying, I went to catch there, and they didn't have a cup big enough. No. So the one time the ball hit, and I said, I can't do this sport, and I can't play this position, because I can't run or squat.
Can't very well get behind home plate with a Captain
like we
America shield
like, it's not like
between,
it's,
my, between my knees.
It's not like you could send somebody to Dick's and get the biggest one.
Where?
You know, or Dick's Sporting Goods to get the bigger.
Okay.
Wait.
John Hammond once told a lie that he had caught for Roger Clemens at Texas, even though
what a fraud.
They never crossed
sports
paths.
Fraud.
Why would you? Yeah, he had a whole explanation about that too. I never meant to imply that I played with him, but you know that was the caliber of player that was there, and blah blah.
Yeah,
blah,
and he
blah,
also blah. Has a large, you know,
ego.
Yeah, and things to protect.
Yep,
run or squat.
He's got beef. This was in the intermission. Down 5-1 on the Blues radio broadcast. They were talking comeback in St. Louis on the radio.
As we wrap up our Dobbs Tire and Auto Center's intermission report, Blues trailing the Bruins.
The Knobs Tire and Auto report. Yeah, okay.
As we wrap up our Dobbs Tire and Auto Center's intermission report, Blues trailing the Bruins. 5-1. Big third period coming up now as the Blues and Bruins are back on the ice. Jake Allen in net. For the Blues, and we hand it back over to Chris Kerber and Joey Vitale for third period action, boys.
All right, Chris Raby, thank you very much. Well, Joey, you ready for one of the greatest comebacks in St. Louis Blues playoff history?
Oh, yeah. I like how you're thinking, bud.
If you just get one goal every average 5 minutes of play, you'll have this thing tied up at the end of 20.
I don't know what to say about it. I really don't. Let me out. Let me inject some energy into the color call.
He was aiming for a tie there at the end of 20. He's lying for overtime.
Well, Joe, you ready for one of the greatest comebacks in St. Louis Blues playoff history?
Oh, yeah. I like how you're thinking, bud.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I'm thinking overtime.
Well, hey, Hermes.
Tie this sumbitch up and take our chances in the extra period.
What?
I sat there and watched that all day yesterday.
I know you did.
Like, bro,
I know you did.
Brody goes, what is that? And I'm like, I don't know, but it's mesmerizing. That's how they get the kids' attention. It's the hands. It's the big. It's the man hands with the puppet head.
Can I
it's,
hear it again, please?
Because
now I'm watching the video. And
it's
I can,
nice. It's nice.
I can see it in conjunction
it's
with.
It's locked in.
I didn't know you spoke French.
I do. Bonjour, monsieur.
No. I call him back like this.
Come on, Jim. Give me one.
Appel comme ça.
But wait, like they cut the music right in. Like,
I know.
Jesus.
I want more
Mid-song.
Of that song.
Mid-song.
I want more
Quand
of that.
Quand nous traîne trop chez les enfants, je le rappelle comme ça.
It's like you changed the channel. Who produced that? You know what? Yeah, let's put this out on TV.
It's whatever. No, it's that account.
That's
it's
excellent when, how it's you blend that.
It's whatever that Twitter account is. That,
and whatever it is they're talking about, the set appears that they have built a grave site on top of a mound of snow. Looks like someone died on an Arctic expedition, and they put a cross there.
But before we run out of time, we've got to get to when the hosts aren't listening. Hardy, Shaq.
We don't have enough time.
We got the time.
I don't think we have time.
And now, how to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
That doesn't qualify for the Mitchell and Ness treatment.
Shaq Celtics
you
jersey.
You don't get that.
Not
exactly. You don't get that unless you bought it when the guy was there. You should not be allowed to wear that. My God. So anyway.
It's like wearing a Shaq Celtics jersey.
Oh,
just don't do it. Someone just say that? Oh, my God. I didn't hear you say it again.
Oh, my God.
This has been How to Tell When the Hosts Aren't Listening.
And the first part of that, do you say that?
No, Jim did.
Jim did. Well, I didn't hear it.
But we heard it.
And we heard it.
Statement. Shaq Celtics jersey.
Oh, that's Jim. That doesn't count.
Oh, please don't downplay it, Hardy.
Doesn't count.
Everybody heard him.
He said it in your headphones. He didn't say it in mine.
He said it to everybody.
Nope. 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 Bonjour, Michel. Ça va? Oui, ça va. Et toi?
I'm so glad we did not break this out until about 157 because we would have been distracted by it.
Bruins
all
win.
Day.
Bruins win 4-1.
4-1. And if they don't?
If they They're going to win 4-1.
Okay. All right. Let's just say for the sake of argument, come in here tomorrow.
If they lose, it'd be 3-2.
Okay. But I'm just saying, if we come in here tomorrow, series is tied at 2. How are you feeling?
No big deal.
No big deal.
No big deal.
Blown opportunity. That's how I'm feeling.
No big deal. They got to win it in 6.
Put the hammer down tonight.
That's it. Yeah. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Hardy, are you going to watch Jeopardy tonight?
I know I am.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
First of all, we're the least penalized team in the league in the first 3 rounds, and now all of a sudden we've taken 14 penalties in the one series. So, I don't know. I don't buy into all that, to be honest with you. I think that we can definitely be more composed after the whistle. I think we've let, you know, some frustration get in there where we're maybe do too much after the whistle. So we'll clean that up for sure. But like I said, we're the least penalized team in the league coming into this series. So I don't agree with all the calls. The penalties and we...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.